Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, the topic that we're going to be looking at is idols in the heart. The idols in the heart. It's a very important message. This is applicable to every single Christian. It's one that we should take heed to, and we know that it's going to be a blessing for you as it has for me and for Brother Lewis. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts. You have access to all of our podcasts that we've had for the past 3 or 4 years. You can also listen to our live feed. Just hit the live radio link, and it'll take you to our 24-hour content page. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can contact us at 305-320-RRAP. That's 305-320-7727. You can also download the free app that is available both for Apple and for Android. For iPhone and Android, so it's absolutely free. So you can be able to have access to all of our podcasts on demand. Or you can also subscribe via iTunes for automatic download, so you can receive it automatically to your computer or to your phone weekly. Remember that our program is live each and every week. You can also get the rerun or the past program up on our Facebook page, where you can also send us a message there. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we come before you, Lord, and we give you thanks, Lord, for everything that you're doing. Lord, tonight we ask you that you use us, Lord, to teach your people about the importance of knowing the idols hidden within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Come from God. Your love's my strength and my song. You lifted me up when I was down, made me your very own. I will rejoice and be glad. Your love is my strength and my song. Oh, you lifted me up when I was down.
If there is any sin that has been the constant downfall of God's people throughout history, it has been the sin of idolatry. The word idolatry means the worship of images. However, it goes much deeper than that. When we look in the Old Testament, we are able to see that idols, idolatry, is practically referenced to in every Old Testament book. When we look at Israel, Israel is a microcosm or a representation of human nature, of how we're not able to submit to the law. And when we look at the Old Testament and we look at Israel, Israel is a picture of humanity. And historically, all the events that happen, even from when God delivers them from Egypt and he brings them into the new land, or even while they're in the desert on the way to the promised land, the greatest challenge, the greatest sin that they fought against was against idolatry. Even from their deliverance from Egypt, all the way to when they were exiled in Babylon, the sin of Israel was continually idolatry. And it is recorded for our learning. We as a New Testament church ought to take heed, because the things that were written beforehand were written for our learning, according to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And perhaps some that are listening tonight, or whatever time of the day that you're listening to this program, you may say, well, you know, this message is irrelevant for me. You know, this is for Catholics. This is for pagans. I don't bow down before idols. I don't have idols in my house. I don't have images in my home. But I got news for you. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ himself tells us that idolatry was found in the church. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are warned against idolatry. It is a sin that every single Christian is susceptible to, and it is the ultimate sin that causes God's judgment to fall upon the whole world. When you read in the book of Revelation, you read that the greatest movement of idolatry that exists is a worldwide movement to worship the beast. They worship devils, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, and that ultimately God brings his judgment upon the whole world. And why this is such a critical sin, in the sense that all sins are bad in the eyes of God, but there's something specific about this sin, and one of the issues about this sin is that sometimes you don't even know that you're living in it. You don't know that there is idols in the heart. because we've become blinded. The Bible shows us that sin blinds us. Now, the first passage that I want to look at tonight is the one from where we get the title of tonight's topic. And it's found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. And I want to give you a little background about what's going on in this book of Ezekiel. At this point, when Ezekiel is writing this book, when all these things are happening, God had over and over sent prophets to Israel, telling them to turn from their sins, telling them to come back to him because they had fallen into deeper and deeper sin. And one of the things, as mentioned before, sin causes the heart to become hardened. And at this point, God is giving his final call, letting Israel know, listen, this is your last chance. Because we have to understand, brothers and sisters, God is good. God is merciful. But there's only so long that he's going to wait. There's only so long before judgment eventually falls. Well, look at what the scripture says in Ezekiel 14, verse 1, and it says, "There came certain elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all by them? Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations." So God continually sent prophets to Israel, calling them to repent because they had fallen so deep into idolatry. When you read the book of Isaiah, you read that Isaiah is sent to the people of God to tell them to repent. Jeremiah was preaching repentance. And now he sends Ezekiel. And one of the good things, the wonderful things about God, is that he warns us before judgment strikes. He lets us know there's no Christian that is on the wrong path and stays on that path and continues in that path without God warning them, hey, if you continue in this path, something's going to happen to you. You're going to stray away. God doesn't just let us go into the wrong direction. He speaks to us if we're doing something wrong. And we see that over and over in the life of Israel. God's desire is for men to repent. He has no delight in bringing judgment, but in some cases our hearts are so hardened that he has no choice. By the way, those that think that God will not judge the church need to read 1 Peter 4:17. And the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, where we find that Jesus is judging the churches. So this is a warning. When we look at how God dealt with Israel, it should be a warning to us. Not just because, some people believe that just because we're under grace, that we're not going to be held in account. In fact, we are held in greater account than Israel, because not only do we have the witness of the prophets, not only do we have the Old Testament to see and to look at what happened to Israel, but we have Jesus who came and spoke to us. And his words were recorded. And he came and he gave his life and he died and he rose again. How much more greater accountability do we have? Look at what the scripture says in 1 Peter 4:17. It says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it is first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" God will judge his church. So in Ezekiel 14, God had sent Israel prophet after prophet, yet they would not turn back to God. They continued in the entanglement of their sin of idolatry, that God had no choice but to bring them into captivity. There was actually two events into where Israel went into captivity. There was the first time where Babylon sieged Israel and they took certain Israelites. That's where they took Daniel and his friends and they all went to Babylon. And then Israel would not accept to be under tribute. They would have to pay taxes to Babylon. And it was God's will for them to do that because God was punishing them. But they rebelled against God. They continued to rebel. And they rose up and they had a rebellion against Babylon, who God had put over them because of their rebellion. So God finally causes Babylon to completely destroy Jerusalem. And at this point, when we're reading here in Ezekiel 14, Israel had become so corrupt, so debased. They had become so immersed in idolatry. And the Bible tells us that they had reached a point where they had begun to sacrifice their own children. Look at what the scripture says here in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20. It says, "Moreover," and this is God speaking to Israel, says, "Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these thou hast sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them?" God says, "Thou hast slain my children." So far had idolatry caused Israel to become so debased, so wicked, that they began to do human sacrifice of their children. And here's the thing about idolatry, is that it is a sin that continues to progress, because it is a sin of the flesh. And it continues to increase. And one of the things that God says in Ezekiel 14 is that you've become estranged from me. Meaning you have become a stranger to God. You've gone so far away from him. Idolatry in the heart causes a person to stray away from God, to become dry in his devotion. Why? Because a person who has put an idol in their heart is no longer focusing on God. Has no longer put their trust upon God. And when a person begins to stray away from God, they're able to accept other sins that before they were really against, but now they begin to loosen up, and to the point that they find themselves in such a deep pile of mud and garbage as Israel had found themselves, to the point where they began to sacrifice their own children. And when I read this, I tremble for my country. I tremble for the United States. I was looking up some statistics regarding abortion in this country, in the United States, and since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was passed, when the law that allowed abortion to pass, since that law took effect in this country, there has been a total of 59,593,429 children that have fallen victim to abortion. Children that have been sacrificed at the altar of financial convenience. Children sacrificed to the god of self. I tremble for my country, a country that has been so blessed by God, but has rejected God for convenience, for pleasure, for so many other worthless things. And when I see this, and when I see how God dealt with Israel, it brings fear into my heart. By the way, that number only reflects America. According to statistics, worldwide, there has been over 1.5 billion abortions since 1980. That's about a population of a country of children who've been aborted, killed. And so devastating are the effects of this sin, and sin in general, but because idolatry is ingrained in the flesh and makes it difficult for those that are engaged in the sin to see the consequences. They are blinded up until destruction comes. Israel had gone so deep into idolatry that they began to sacrifice their sons and daughters, and God had no choice but to finally bring judgment because they would not turn. Because when a person has idols in their hearts, when a person has an idol in their heart, it hardens them. It makes it difficult to let go of that thing. And when you become numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit, when you become complacent in sin, it would only take you deeper. Now, one of the interesting things that we learn in the book of Ezekiel about idolatry, according to what the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 14, is that it begins in the heart. Look at what Ezekiel 14, verse 3 says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" A person may bow before a statue. They may bow before an image. But the real sin in their action is rooted in the heart. The image is just a physical, tangible object of which the sin is projected upon. Meaning, you can be an idolater of the heart without ever bowing before a statue, without ever looking at an image, without ever having an image before you. And this is why this sin is so dangerous, because anything that we set up in our heart that detracts from our devotion to God is an idol. And this is why this is something that hits all of us. You know, it can be so many things. Anything that ties you up, that keeps you from coming to God, that keeps you from spending time with Him, can be an idol. And I believe that this is the sin that has greatly affected the church more than any other sins. See, you can go to church every Sunday. You can lift your hands for worship. You can give to the poor. You can give to the offering. You can be baptized and born again. You can be a Christian for many years. But if at some point anything takes hold of your heart that comes before God, you have fallen into sin. And what God tells us in verse 16 and verse 6 of Ezekiel 14 is to repent and turn away from your idols. It's not something that we sit down and think about, because ultimately nothing will ever be better for us than Jesus. Yes, you know, often there's times where the Christian life is difficult. When we read the life of the Christians in the book of Acts, they encountered a lot of difficulty standing up for their faith, keeping the faith. But how much more rewarding it is to have Jesus than something, some momentary pleasure, some object of material gain, of material wealth, that you can only have for so many years and then eventually will rust away. There's many examples of things that we can name. But the issue is here is not to tell you what the idol is, even though we'll touch upon that. But it's for us to seek the Holy Spirit and ask God, God, what are the idols that I have set in my heart, so that I may turn and repent. Because I want the fullness of the relationship that comes through Christ. I want the fullness of knowing you. And I don't want anything to hinder that. I don't want to be estranged to you. I don't want to be a stranger to you because I'm letting something else lead me. I'm letting something else take the place that only belongs to you and you alone.
Amen. Before I start the lesson, I would like to talk about three different types of idols. Hidden idols, secret idols, and God's idols. Many people have many secret idols hidden deep inside their hearts and are not aware of them. Like my brother Javer mentioned, an idol is anything that we put before God. Most of us, when we think about an idol, what comes to your mind? I know the first thing that comes to my mind is a carved image. Even though that is a right answer, carved images aren't usually hidden. So there must be some other thing which are idols, but are so hidden that many of us take them for granted. And worst of all, we permit our children to see and believe in them. The other day, I went to visit my nephew. And after a while, we decided to go to the movies. When we got there, most of the movies had already started, and the only one that was just starting was Wonder Woman. I thought to myself, wow, I remember when I was a kid watching Linda Carter as Wonder Woman and her invisible plane. Anyway, what can possibly be wrong in watching a superhero movie? Well, it did not take long before I was able to see the problem. It did not promote Jesus, but two gods, Zeus, who was the father and god of Wonder Woman, and Ares, the villain, which had superpowers. This is where the problem lies. These characters take the place of God in the hearts and in the mind of our children and even adults. Exodus 20:4. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. As we can see from this thought to be innocent movie, hidden beneath the script, something cynical was at work, taking our vision off of Jesus and into mystical gods. In the same manner, there are many idols that people seek, which are deeply hidden in our hearts. These are just some of them. Money, power, fame, pride, lust, and self. God is clear. He wants us to stay away from these hidden and destructive idols. Hosea 14:8-9. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayer and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruits come from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment to listen carefully. The path of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Brothers and sisters, as we can see, something as simple as a movie can have things that could affect who we believe in. We see our children wearing these costumes, believing in these superheroes, and perhaps even their gods. Is this the way that we are to teach our children? Or does not God teach us that we have to instruct our children in his ways? One of the things that I see throughout the Bible is how God tells the Israelites to remember him, to remember where he took them out of, and that he was the only God that we are to worship and that we are to seek. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we protect our children and instruct them. So that way, whenever they see a movie or anything else, they will know the truth.
Amen. I think, Brother Lewis, you hit some very excellent points. There is an increasing amount of emphasis on a lot of these superheroes in popular culture, and what a lot of parents don't know is a lot of these characters do have a lot of origins in paganism. Another great example is Superman, how he's worshipped as a god. And it's a clear example of how Satan using the system of this world is trying to get children, and also adults are involved in a lot of these things as well, to get into these things that are passed off as fantasies, but that will distract children and people from God. And I think that that's something that is so important, brothers and sisters, because we live in a culture where it's harder and harder to fight the world, especially with technology. Your children are exposed to the world in school, through phones, through computers. There's so many ways that popular culture can infiltrate our homes, and we need to take a stand and say, you know what? Our house is going to be a place for Jesus. Our house is going to be a light. Our house is going to be different. Now, going back to Ezekiel, one of the interesting things about the book of Ezekiel is that it shows us of the progression of idolatry in the midst of God's people. It shows us the progression of how idolatry moves and spreads in the nation of Israel. And one of the things that we find is that it begins with the leadership. It begins with those who were supposed to be teaching the Word of God. And when you read in Ezekiel chapter 8, you find that God gives Ezekiel a glimpse of those that were supposed to be serving in the temple, of those that were supposed to be teaching the Word of God. But instead, they are found worshiping idols inside the sanctuary. And this is important because, brothers and sisters, the temple is a symbol of our bodies. It's a symbol of the church. That's why we need to individually take heed to this message and also understand that it is also a serious threat inside of the church. Look at what the scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 8, starting in verse 9. It says, "And he said unto me," the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, "go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing." So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Look at verse 12. "Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land." Very interesting. Brother Lewis mentioned secret idols, the idols that nobody else can see, but God sees them. "And these men thought that they can hide from God, that God has forsaken the land. God sees." Verse 13, "And he said unto me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz." Tammuz, by the way, is a Babylonian god. Here you have women before the doors of the temple of God, crying for a foreign god, a false god, a strange god. "Then he said unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. The priests, the men that should have been serving in the temple, instead, they were worshiping false gods. They were worshiping the sun. No wonder the whole nation was messed up. Because those which God called to lead had filled his house, God's house, with idols. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, why did they learn all these things? God didn't teach them that. They learned it from the surrounding nations. They learned it from the world. Instead of influencing those nations around them, they allowed them to influence them. They allowed the world to creep into their nation and into the most holy places, the sanctuary, the place where God's presence had physically abode with Israel. Together they were worshiping idols. Isn't that what we've seen in these last couple of years in the church? Haven't we seen the world creeping into the church? Haven't we seen that the focus of much of the modern church movement has become about numbers instead about God, instead of godliness and holiness? Haven't we seen a lot of the church movement following after material wealth rather than being conformed to Christ? These are the prophets of Baal that have crept into the church and have caused many to turn from the true God to an imaginary ATM in the sky that with the right PIN number you can get what you want. As a church, we have allowed greed, pleasure, the honor of men, the traditions of men to take up residence in our churches. And we need to get them out of our hearts and out of our churches. Especially when we are so close to the coming of Christ. You see, as Brother Lewis was mentioning the different types of idols that we keep, we learned that it's very easy for us to fall into any of those things, especially because the way that we worship God is through faith. And one of the things about idolatry is that it causes you to hold on to something that you feel is tangible, to something in which you feel security. Why? Because you have instant access to it. It doesn't require patience. It doesn't require for you to have to wait on God. And that's why it can be so tempting. That's why we can see that so many of the seminaries, instead of focusing on doctrine, focusing on really what the Word of God says, how Jesus commanded the apostles to build up the church, they're focusing on church growth movements, on how to get people inside, how to water down, how to be able to say things so that everybody that comes in can feel comfortable in your church. But you know what? That's not the way that I see Christ dealing with the multitude. Christ was not afraid to make people feel uncomfortable. He wasn't obnoxious. He wasn't coming and condemning people. He set things straight. And what we're seeing is that not only is there a following after different things that have nothing to do with Christ, but that there is a movement to follow another Christ, not the Christ of the Bible. Because our desires for a church are not for Christ to be our head. But for us to have a big building and to have a great amount of numbers and have a nice cafeteria, and not that those things are not wrong, but when they become the object of our desire in which why we want to become ministers or minister, then we had set an idol. And that would pass on to those people that we minister to. And that's why it's so important that we as Christians, if we wish to disciple others, the greatest example that we would be able to show others is our relentless desire for Christ. Our great desire to follow Him. That is the greatest tool to instruct another young believer. And when we have these idols in our hearts, when we have these idols in our lives, our children will see it, and they will see that we do not value God. And they will not value God because they don't see that example in us. We need to get them out of our hearts and out of our churches.
Amen. One of the things that we can see in the Garden of Eden, we can see in the test of Jesus Christ when he was tempted in the wilderness, is that the devil doesn't really come out portraying who he really is. I mean, a lot of people think that when the devil appears to somebody, he looks like this wicked animal that as soon as you see him, you'll be afraid. But in reality, he's not like that. He doesn't come at you in that form. We could see it the way that he tricked Eve in the garden through knowledge. And then what he offered Jesus in the wilderness, the kingdom and the wealth of the kingdom, and also the God idols that will give you power. You know, one of the things that people seek witchcraft is because they want power. They want to be able to cast spells and move certain items. So they're intrigued to get involved in these things until they find themselves in trouble. And like I said, brothers and sisters, it shouldn't catch us by surprise when we see Satan using movies of superheroes to lure our children in and believing that somehow they could become superheroes. They don't need to rely on God. They could rely on themselves. They could reach anything they want if they only follow these gods. And brothers and sisters, it's very sad because this is happening or being allowed in our own homes. And a lot of us are being part of this. And many of us are looking for carved images and things in the house when they're really not anywhere visibly that you could see, but in the hearts of your child. That's why it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we monitor what our children see. Because the devil attacks our children very hard because they are open to receive anything and believe anything. You know, one of the things that I remember when Javer was talking about Superman, I remember when I was a kid, I got a Superman shirt and I thought I could fly just by putting on the shirt. And, you know, there has been instances where children have jumped from a building or from a roof of the house thinking that they could fly and they've killed themselves. So we need to be very careful, brothers and sisters, in what we allow our children to see and lead them and guide them into the things of God.
Amen. One of the things the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 20 is that idolatry is a work of the flesh. And that's why we see it that it's the main part of the majority of false religions. It involves idols. Involves something that you can reach out to, that you can touch. And even Islam. Islam, they have this, Islam, they pride themselves in saying that they don't make any images of Muhammad or Allah. But there's this stone that they worship. That they go once a year and they go and they worship before the stone. So every single false religion has some kind of idolatry involved. Why? Because idolatry is part of the flesh. Idolatry indulges the flesh. And one of the things we have to ask ourselves, you know, and especially in that time of Israel, why is it that they had such trouble continually falling into this sin? Why is it that we are so, quick to fall into idolatry? Why is it that at that point in time, idolatry was so attractive? Now, one of the things we have to understand is that idolatry was completely everywhere in the time of Israel. And it's everywhere now. You know, where Brother Lewis mentioned a lot of pop culture. It's in the music. We had, I don't know if the show still goes on, but we have a show here in the United States called American Idol. Stars, movie stars are worshipped as idols. Material wealth, prosperity is worshipped as an idol. And I want to look at a couple of points here. And these, I actually took them from an article written by a man called Doug Stewart, who he's done research extensively in idolatry in ancient times. And he makes some interesting points. And I'm not going to go deep into all of them. I'm just going to briefly read with some of them and maybe touch on a few of the points. And so you can have an idea and apply that spiritually to the idols that we place in our lives, in our hearts. And the first point, he says, idolatry was guaranteed. He says the formula was simple. Carve a god out of wood or stone, and the god would enter, the icon would enter the piece of wood. Now that you have a god in your midst, you can get his or her attention quickly. Your incantations, oaths, and offerings will always be noticed. In other words, it doesn't require faith. You see, faith is only something that a person with the Holy Spirit can exercise, or a person believing in Christ. And because idolatry does not require faith, it is very easy for the flesh. It's very easy for someone to say, for someone to have their job as an idol. Oh, well, you know, I know that if I go to work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, I'm going to have a paycheck and I'm going to be able to survive. And a lot of people have their work, their job, their careers as an idol. Because it takes, they place their dependence upon their job rather than God. It's true that you need that job. But it's God that gave you that job. It's God that gave you that career. Put God first, not that career. He says the second point, idolatry was selfish. Scratch the god's back and they'll scratch yours. They need food and sacrifices. You need blessings. Do your stuff and they'll be obliged to get you stuff. So it's more about what I can get. We see that in a lot of the church movements today. Oh, well, if I sow $50, then I'm going to get back 100-fold. So God's going to give me back another 50. You know what? That's a great investment. I'm going to do it. And people don't do it to honor God. They don't do it to help others. They do it because they want something in return. It's idolatry. I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm not saying, because the Bible does say that you will reap what you sow. But some people use it as a financial exploit. That's not what it's meant to do. That's not what it's there for. Number three, idolatry was easy. Ancient idolatry encouraged vain religious activity. Do what you like with your life. So long as you show up consistently with your sacrifices, you'll be in good shape. You know, you have people that they feel like if they come to church once a week, then they're done. They've done their job to God, and they could do whatever they want for the rest of the week. The rest, everything else belongs to them. Hey, as long as they go to church on Sunday, they'll be fine. It has nothing to do with the love for God. It says idolatry was normal. Everyone did it. It's how a woman got pregnant, how crops grew, how armies conquered. Idolatry was like oil. Nothing ran in the ancient world without it. Isn't it true about the society that we live in today? Idolatry is normal. It's normal. You could be a huge fan of football and, you know, you could paint your face. You can go to every game. But if you love God and that love comes forth, they say you're a fanatic. Everything. It's normal to be a fanatic of anything in this world other than God. You see these comic cons when people they dress up as you know, Star Wars characters or Marvel characters and you know, superheroes and things like that, and nobody makes fun of them. Nobody says, "Hey, you're going crazy." You know, maybe I'm sure they have family members that say, "Hey, I think you're taking this too far," but it's perfectly acceptable in our society. But if you're a Christian on fire for God, they say you're a fanatic. Idolatry was logical. Nations are different. People are different. Their needs and desires are different. Obviously, there must be different deities for different strokes. How could God, one God, cover all of life? You don't eat at one restaurant, do you? The more options, the better. And that's the thing about idolatry. It's that, well, you know, I want to make a God that accepts me the way that I am. You know, it's true that we come to Christ as sinners. But as we mature, we begin to change. And God has certain expectations with us, just like we do from children. You know, we don't expect the same thing of a baby as we do from a 5 or 6 or 7 and up until a teen. As the child becomes older and older, there's more responsibility, there's more accountability that comes with that maturity. And as Christians, one of the things that we've been seeing is that instead of leading people to deeper and deeper into godliness, we maintain them as children, or we twist the scriptures so that other people can be comfortable, so that they won't be offended by the word of God. And now this will be the last point. Idolatry was pleasing to the senses. If you're going to be especially religious, it helps to be able to see your God. It's harder to impress people with an invisible deity. And that's the thing. Again, it goes back to faith. We can't see God. We can't see Jesus. But we believe it because we received a witness of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to see something. We don't need to have proof, a visual proof of something to know that God is there. We don't need to trust in our bank account. Even though we know we have a certain amount of money, hey, listen, my trust is in Jesus. Even though we may have the best medical insurance, our trust doesn't come into doctors. We don't discourage doctors. We believe that God uses doctors. But if when you're sick, the very first thing you do is to run to a doctor instead of praying and asking God, then there's a serious problem. Because our dependence is on God. Yes, he gives us avenue. Yes, medicine can be good. But we've come first to God. Our dependence is on him. And the results of a nation that abandons God, that abandons the gospel, that turns to false gods, is precisely what is happening in this country. Look at countries like India, where they have temples to so many different gods. It's a nation that is stricken with poverty, that is stricken with sickness and disease because of the incredible idolatry that exists. How much more the idolatry in our hearts? Perhaps the reason why we're not fruitful, perhaps the reason we're not prospering in our Christian life is because there's something that we are allowing in our hearts to keep us from going deeper into God because we're not willing to let go of that idol. Break it. Destroy it. Abandon it. Let us follow Jesus and trust and faith in Him that He would give us all the things that we need. And that He is all that we need. In Christ, we are complete.
Amen. When we look at the at Exodus, and we see where when Moses went up to the mountain, and the Israelites, they started to make an idol, a calf. You know, there's something very important that happens there, brothers and sisters, and that we need to understand is, and that is, they found themselves where, you know, they didn't want to wait on God. They didn't want to follow the rules and regulations that God or the standards that God had. They said, wait, you know, we were better off in Egypt. Let's make our own idol, our own calf, so that way we could have our own God and we could do whatever we want. And that's what happens, brothers and sisters. And Jerry was just talking about this point. And that's what it's all about. People make gods so they could do whatever they want to do, and you know, whatever they feel like doing, and they don't have to live under the standards that our God requires of each and every one of us. And brothers and sisters, one thing that I'm going to tell you right now, that, you know, for those of you that are worshiping these gods, you know, the devil will allow you to go so far. But remember something. There's going to come a time when he's going to want something back. It could be now, or it could be later. But he's going to hold you accountable for that. Why would you need a God that you have to carry around when there's one that lives in you? Father God, tonight we thank you, Lord, for the ability to be able to see and recognize some of these hidden idols that are in us. Father, for those of us who are struggling with idols, Father, whichever they are, Lord, tonight I ask you, Father, to release them from those strongholds, Lord. I ask you to set them free in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for all our brothers and sisters that they may learn to protect their children against these lies of the enemy, Lord, and that they will understand and know your scriptures so they could tell the truth from the lies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We hope that tonight's program has been a blessing to you. We hope that it causes you to examine your heart. I know it definitely has for me. And one of the things that I need to give up to God is I'm constantly checking my phone. Like, I'm constantly opening it up, and it's almost like this thing that I have to deal with. And many people have the same issue with technology or with social media. You constantly have to be on Facebook, constantly having to have people, wanting people to comment on their pictures or on their posts. And it's not good. And it's keeping us from living a greater, richer life with Christ because we're so dependent on all these things. So there's definitely things that I have to examine in my heart, because all of us have something in our hearts that we need to deal with. We thank you again for listening. We remind you that you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also find us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as well as download the free app that is available for Android and iPhone. And you can also contact us at 305-320-7727. Again, that's 305-320-7727. Thank you again for listening. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Stand or a God I hold in the palm of my hand. I have a God that's holding me, yeah. And I don't have a God that I can create in the place I live with the money I make. I have a God, He made everything. So I don't need a temporary man-made deity when I got the real thing. I got the real thing. He's the Lord of all the earth, the maker of all things. He alone is the one true God. Kingdoms rise and fall, but even through it all, He remains the one. Got the real thing.